Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I tell you, it's good to be back. I haven't been here in a while, and I'll tell you, it's interesting that what I'm going to be speaking on today really fits to the fact that life gets way too busy, and if you don't have things in perspective, things can go really awry. Things can go really awry. Tell you what, this past year, how do I want to put this? It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks ago in a subway in New York City that a man was pushed onto the tracks and killed. And if you didn't hear what was said, the person who did the act that pushed that man said that ever since 9/11, I have hated Muslims and Hindus. Hated. Wasn't too, not many weeks before that, where a young man walks into a school and kills children. In China, someone with a knife stabs 20 college students. Theaters, shopping malls. I tell you, this world has an abundance of hatred, does it not? And it seems like we are in short supply of love, does it not? It just seems that way. You almost feel sometimes like Isaiah, who, you know, after defeating the prophets of Baal, sits there on the top of the mountain and says, "Boy, I'm the only one. That's it. There's who else is there?" And God says, "I have 7,000 that you don't know about that are mine." We're not alone in this world, even though sometimes we think we are. But the question comes down to, what are we doing? So this is a brand new year, right? 365 days, well, okay, not 365 anymore. We have what, 359, right? 359 more days of this year. What's it going to be like? What is this year going to be like? I don't know. There's a lot of speculation. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Are things going to get worse? Are things going to get better? Are laws going to be written that make it hard for Christians maybe to preach? Maybe to write things off on your taxes. There's many ways this world, this country can go. Many ways that things can change, and people speculate all the time, right, don't they? They love to speculate. I'll tell you what, have you ever read, I've been reading, you know, you read news articles and things like that, and then you go down and you read the comment section. And did you ever notice that people just are not happy unless they're complaining? You ever notice that? I just think to myself, let it not be said of Christians. Let it not be said of Christians. Our mindset, our thought process, our view should not be like that. We're different. We're different. Turn with me, if you would, into the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to talk to you today. Maybe it'll be encouraging, maybe it won't. But I praise God for the Word of God. I praise God for His Son. Ephesians chapter 5. Just to give you a context, the book of Ephesians is all about making two people one. Two groups one, Jews and Gentiles. If you trust in Christ, you're one body. You're one body. And of course, in chapter 2, it talks about where we've been, how we were strangers and enemies and outside, and how Christ gave Himself for us. You come to chapter 5, and it says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." In the epistles, in the letters, you will find it always goes this way. Whoever writes it, whether it be Paul or Peter or James, they first start out and they give you an introduction, and then they talk about doctrine. And then at the end they say, because of these things, here's how you should live. And that's why in verse 5, in verse 1 it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children." After all the things that we have just talked about in the book of Ephesians, follow Jesus. Follow Him. What is coming to church all about? Is it an exercise in personal holiness? Is it something you do because it's something my parents did? Is it something that you do because it's the right thing to do? Or is it something you do because it's a checkbox amongst all the other checkboxes that we have? Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. And then it says this, and walk in love. And walk in love. As I was saying before, this world is filled with hate and despair and grumpiness. But for the Christian, it should not be. But walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. My friends, our attitude needs to be different. It needs to be different. We need to be followers, and we need to walk in love. Where I want to get to, really, in my sermon for you today is verse 14. Because I'll tell you what, in this world, usually there are two things, and I was doing some reading, and there's a doctor, and he was saying that there are two things that people focus their attention on. And one is the past, and one is the future. Am I right about that? Have you ever thought about those things? The things of the past, and the things of the future. What's happened in the past? Look at all those things that have come and gone. And you look back, and maybe we think to ourselves, man, those were the good old days. Or we think to ourselves, did I really mess up? Here and there, and whatever. And we dwell there. We reminisce. We look at those times past. Weren't those the good old days? We want to stay there. And that's not good to do. It is good to remember our history, because those that forget our history are deemed to repeat it. And it seems like that happens a lot. How many of you, here's just a side note, how many of you back in school loved history? Loved learning about history. Usually kids are like, I don't, you know, they go through history class and they're like, forget that, you know, a C is complete and I'm glad I got through that class. I love history now. History is a great thing. We took the scouts this past summer, we went to Gettysburg. How many of you have ever been to Gettysburg? Anyone? I tell you what, go to Gettysburg. Learn about the history of your country. I cried at Gettysburg. What an incredible time that was for our country. How many people fought and died on both sides for things they thought were right, but they're dead. They're gone. History. We want to know it, but we don't want to dwell there. But what about the future? There's the other half. You guys ever look forward and worry? You ever look forward and say, oh no, what's coming? Like walking into a train tunnel, you're just wondering when that train's going to just come barreling through. My friends, there's two things that keep us from focusing on what we need to be doing, the past and the future. Dwelling in the past and looking back and saying, oh, those were the good old days, and then looking forward and saying, oh no, what's coming? I'm worried about what's coming. And we do that, and it freezes us. It freezes us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's why in verse 14 he says, wherefore he says, awake. Wake up. Now I tell you what, I had like 2 weeks off of work through the Christmas holiday. Christmas, we can say that here, right? Christmas. Love that. You go to a store, happy holidays. No, Merry Christmas, right? You say that. But it was real nice sleeping in until 8:30, right? When you're usually getting up at 5 and getting into work at 6 and working, you know, long days and things like that. Wake up! See, our focus and our attention numbs us to what's important here, what God has for us. It freezes us. It puts us to sleep. It lulls us. Tell you what, you know, now this season we're working up to the Super Bowl, right? And that's the big thing. And they just settled the hockey dispute. Now we might actually have hockey for X amount of weeks, right? So they're arguing over millions of dollars. Like, can you guys just please make up your mind? You know what? Let me play for a year and make a million. I'll be all done. Just I'll sit the bench. You know what I mean? Stop whining. And yet they grumble and complain. Wake up. Come out of the stupor that we're in. Look at what is going on right now. Right in front of you. Right in your world. In your sphere. In my sphere. It's interesting, I was talking to a brother this morning downstairs, and he was talking about, God has me right here. I was searching around, I was going to this place and that place, but God has me right here. God has you where he wants you, unless, of course, you're walking in disobedience. So what are you doing in that place where God has you? And that's why he says, awake you that sleep. See, we love to sleep. Some of us do anyway. We love to sleep in just that little bit, that little bit. Hit that snooze button. And he says, wake up, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. My friends, he's calling us to something greater. He's calling you to get out of the darkness and walk in the light. Can Christians walk in the darkness? Yes, they can. Even though we are children of light, we have been taken from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when we trust in Christ as our Savior, he places us into his kingdom, into the light. And it's good to be there. Just like at 9:30, it's good to be here remembering the Lord, breaking bread, as he has asked us to do. But as Christians, we can also walk in the dark. We can walk in the dark when we do the things that God does not want us to do. We walk in the dark when we forget this book. We neglect it. Reading. Taking time to get into his word. We walk in the dark when we neglect to pray. We walk in the dark when we forsake fellowship with those who are like-minded. We walk in the dark when we go to church to be entertained or feel good about ourselves. We walk in the dark as if it was night, as if we were asleep. And he says to us, wake up. Wake up, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead. Why? See, I just taught you all these things about how you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and Christ died for you, and he has made you alive, and he has made you sit together with him in the heavenlies in Christ. He has placed you in a secure spot with him. You are alive because he lives, and you will be alive because he's coming to get you. It's a promise. It's set in stone. You are his forever. And because of all these things that he has done for you, what are you doing, is what he's saying. And he's saying, awake out of sleep. Arise from the dead. In this new year, yeah, there's things, a lot of things that could go wrong. There's things that could be bad. There's a lot of things that could be good. I don't know. You don't know. Our taxes are going up, right? Another $1,500, $2,000 coming out of the wallets. You know what I mean? All these things. Oh, how am I going to afford this? And inflation and this thing and that thing. And oh, man, all these things come crashing down. And, you know, there's children that are going to be born in 8, 9 months, 7 months. What world are they going to grow up in? I don't know. God knows. And God loves you immensely. But he doesn't want you to worry about the future, and he doesn't want you to stay in the past. He wants you to be right here, right now. What can I do in this little sphere? Wake up. Arise from the dead. Come and work for me. Don't despair. Why? Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. See, you wake up and you're kind of groggy, right? Usually you're kind of, you're wiping your eyes. You know, you go like this, and you got little boogers on the corner of your eyes, and you got to go into the bathroom and you wash your face and you're snapping yourself out. And a lot of you like coffee. How many of you drink coffee? You know what I'm saying? You got to have that coffee and you wake up. I drink water. I don't know. I like coffee beans, but I just can't stand coffee. I don't know what it is. I work with engineers and they think I'm weird. But you wake up. And then you begin to look around, you say, okay, and your brain begins to fill, and I got to do this and this and this and this and this, right? Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. That's a big word, isn't it? Circumspectly. I had a friend of mine, I don't know how many of you know Steve Padgett or have heard of Steve Padgett, but he always used these big 50-cent words. Always. And I always had to have him define them for me because, you know what I mean? I just got this little small brain, and I can't fit those big words in there. Circumspectly, I want to take a look at everything that's going on around me. I want to take stock of everything that's happening, whether it be in my family or at my job or at my assembly or with my friends. Or with anything that's going on in my little sphere, I want to take account of those things. I want to measure them correctly. I want to place them in an order of importance. I want to say this is ultimately important, like the assembly and your chapel family and your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's greatly important. It's important to God. It should be important to you. Your family is also important. This Christmas, I spent time with my family, my brothers, they're not saved. Their spouses, girlfriends are not saved. My mom and my sister were, but they're both with the Lord. But I still love my family. Family is extremely important, and you take stock in that. Your children, those of you who are blessed to have children, those of you who have had children, are having children, that's a huge burden. But what a blessing they are. Their children are an arrow that you send to another generation that you'll never see. They're going to go out there and they're going to become what you set in them to be. Because you have the opportunity to mold them at the beginning. Now, of course, they're going to make their choices. They're going to grow up. They're going to do those things, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets older, he shall not depart from it. Take stock. Circumspectly. I am placing things under the microscope, and I am checking them out, and I am seeing, and I am measuring, and I am weighing what is important and what is not. I was told of a story of a family, husband and wife, and they think life is going good. And all of a sudden, one day, the wife goes, "You know, I'm pregnant." And this comes up, and now they have this burden. Right? And then the kid's growing up, and should we put him in school? Should I go back to work? Things like that. Well, one of these days we'll be able to, you know, retire, and one of the, we'll save money, and we'll do these things. And then the kids grow up, and they go to college, and, well, now, honey, you're going to have to work because we just don't have the money, and there's this burden there, too. And finally they get out of college, and the wife's looking, and now she can quit this job, and the man says to her, well, if you stay on for another 8 years, you'll have a pension. You should stay. There's that money that's there. So she stays. And all these things in the world, they creep in, they creep in, they keep coming. And finally, the age of 65, 67 hits, and husband and wife retire, and they sit down, and they look in their picture book, and they look back, and they look at all the good old days. It's like life has just flown by. And now they look back. I tell you what, I'm 45. And life is flying. It's flying by. My kids are 16, 18, and 20. They're growing up. They used to be little squirts, and now they're big, and they're going to college and things like that. You must take every day, every moment, whether it be with your children or with your family or with your chapel or with your job, you've got to set it right before God. What's important and what's not, and keep your eyes focused. Walk circumspectly, seeing that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Not as fools. Because the world puts their stock in a lot of other things that we shouldn't be. You know, I was just talking to my brother downstairs, and there's a lot of Christians now who are becoming like the world. Who are becoming like the world. They're beginning to fit in. I have a friend at work who got saved probably about 10 years ago. And now, you know, I've been away, I've come back, and you don't recognize people. He once was walking with the Lord, and now he's not. What influence is he having on those three guys that he sits around in his cube? What influence do we have? What influence do we have on those people around us? Are we influencing them for Christ? Or are we just doing what the world does and they feel fine around us? Not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. A fool says in his heart, there is no God, and he lives like it. Right? If there is no God, I should be able to do whatever I want to. But as a Christian, even though I have the opportunity to live like I want, I shouldn't live like the world. I should live as Christ wants. And that's what it means to be wise. Because the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of, go ahead, say it, wisdom. A fool says in his heart, there is no God, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want to walk in this world wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, right? Christ talked about that. I want to be wise. I want to be watching everything. Because the devil, you know, when he comes at you, he's going to be red with horns, with a pitchfork. He's going to make all this kind of noise, right? And he's going to get your attention. Is that what the Bible says? No, it's not. He comes as an angel of light. He looks good. He looks right. Hey, Eve. God didn't really say that if you eat this fruit, you will die because it's good. This fruit is really good. It'll make you just like God. Right? That's what he wants. You get your guard down. Ah, that's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to say words like that. And pretty soon, you're just like them. Acting just like them. Talking just like them. Walking just like them. When, realistically, you may be the only Bible that those people ever read. Did you know that? Your testimony, your walk before them, they're watching. They're watching. We must be different. We have to be wise. We have to be wise. I'm going back to college, and I am taking business management. And I'm gonna try to make this illustration, but I just want to tell you this. Okay. Let's pretend we're all in Australia. And down in Australia during the summer they have bushfires, and they're really bad. Right? And so we're learning in class, we're taking this little test, this quiz, and it's all about the fact that you are out and you've gone back into the backwoods, into the brush, and you're staying at this house, you and your friends, and they give a list of all these things that are there. You know, you have a car, you have a cell phone, there's a map, there's jeans, there's a blanket, there's a big water tank, there's a hose, there's a broom, there's all these different things that you have available to you. And all of a sudden, you go outside and you look and you see the sky is cloudy, like ash. There's like leaves that are burning that are coming in the wind and they're falling. Have you ever had a campfire and you see that? You know, like the leaves or whatever, it'll come up and it'll float and it'll fall and it's burning like that. And you have to make a decision on what things you're going to keep and what things you're going to throw away. You're rating them 1 to 12. How are you going to survive this brush fire? Because, I mean, it's going to come. It's going to rip through. It could burn the house down. It could kill you. And you're way out in the back. It'd almost be like being up north, out in the woods. And in 99% of the cases, you know, you're split into groups. The groups die. Because we think, I'm going to take the car, the map, the cell phone, right? And we're going to get out of there. But it's always the opposite. You stay, and you huddle down, and you dunk things in the water, and you spray the water, and you put on the jeans, and you put on the boots, and you do these things. And it's all about influence. Because usually the people with the biggest mouths tell everybody, oh yeah, we need to get in the car, we need to grab the keys, we need to get the map, we need to get out of here, we need to call the police, call the fire department, do all these things. And by that time, it's over. You're done. Influence. It's all about influence. You as a Christian have the words of life. Do you know that? You have them. Not just here. You should have them in here. And when you go out into that big bad world that we're in, are you an influence? The brush fire is coming, if you want to say that, and it's called Judgment Day. And people die every day and they pass into judgment. We have the words of life, and how are we influencing? What are we doing? What are we saying? Because the brush fire is coming. And there's people within our sphere. We need to be circumspect. We need to not be fools. We need to be wise. We need to be wise. That's what he's calling us to do. And look at this. So, we're to wake up. We're to rise from the dead. We're to be wise. We're to take stock. We're to measure. We're to put things in proper perspective. But then he says this. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Now, redeeming, we should know what that word's all about, right? Because we have been redeemed. Christ has bought us out of the slave market of sin. He has purchased us. Redeemed. So how do you redeem the time? Because don't we all get 24 hours a day? Don't we all get, on average, 75 years of our life? I'm 45, and the average is 75 for men. It gives me 30 more years. That's the average. And who knows if I'm going to make it? You never know. Redeeming the time. Buy it back. How do I buy back time? Because the past is the past. I can't go get it. The things that I've done are gone. And the future I can't go get. It's coming. Redeeming the time. My friends, you know what it means? It means use every moment for God. Take every moment that you can and use it for the glory of the Lord. You need to buy back that time for Him. Because the world is going to want you to spend that time on it and on you. It's real easy for us to be selfish. We're born that way. It's really hard to be selfless. But that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, the fruits of the Spirit point us and direct us and help us to grow to be more like Christ, who was the ultimate of selfless. God the Son became a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, and yet He went to a cross for a worm like me. That's the ultimate of selflessness. Redeeming the time. Buying it back for the Lord. Doing things for the Lord. Spending your time doing things for the glory of God. Redeem the time that you have. Because we don't know when our time will end. Now, I know a lot of us, we hope for the rapture. When the Lord comes back and you hear the trumpet and the archangel cries out and we're gone. But you know what? We don't know when that day is going to be. Right? For He comes as a thief in the night. No man knows that day nor the hour. Your lifespan, as I said, it's average 75 for men, 80 for women, right around there. But we don't know. We don't know. My father-in-law, he died when he was 52. He was walking his dog down the street, and he had a heart attack, and he died right there on the sidewalk. 52. So he's under average. My grandfather, on the other hand, is 94. So he's lived above the average. Now, you know that between... There's this argument going on between China and Japan right now. Did you know that? The Chinese are angry at the Japanese, and the Japanese are angry at the Chinese, and they're not buying each other's products. But there's another argument that they're going over, and who has the oldest person in the world? There was a guy in Japan that was 108, 120, 118, and now there's a woman in China who's like 122, 124. So now they're arguing about who's the oldest in the world. Right? I can't even imagine being 120. Can you imagine that? That means you were born in 1900, 1902. Right? I mean, that's a long time. You have seen things go from horses to carts to buggies to wind-up motors to this, to tablets, to iPhones, to all these things. I bet you couldn't even take that stuff in. I'm just going to sit back here for a while. You know, and watch the world just go right on by. That's incredible. Redeeming the time. I don't know how long I have, and neither do you. But every moment you have is a gift of God. Every day that you wake up and you go, oh, another day, that's a gift. That's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And it's a gift. If it's a gift, we use it wisely. And we use it rightly. We use it right. But it doesn't stop right there, though, right? Because it says, redeeming the time, why? Redeeming the time because the days are really nice and cool and lazy and lax and they're really good. No, it doesn't say that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And as the time grows more and more, evil men get worse and worse. Now, I'll tell you what. If you do read history and you look through it, you will see that people throughout history have always said Man, these are evil days. That's what Christians have said. They're getting worse and worse and worse. They've always thought that way. Imagine being in the days of Paul living in Rome and seeing, you know, the temple to Diana and all these other temples and worshiping God and all the prostitution, all the things going on. That was evil. And then they began to take Christians and they used to feed them to the lions. And they used to burn them at the stake and they used to hang them. They used to cut their heads off and put them on a pole. Those days were evil, weren't they? And then there were those days in Europe when Christians were being hunted for being Christians by other Christians, right? Pre-Reformation era. There were wars in the Middle East, the Muslims killing Christians and Christians killing Muslims. The days were evil. World War I was said to be the war to end all wars, was it not? But it didn't. And then there was World War II, and oh, those were evil days. What about today? Iran's going to have a nuclear bomb pretty soon, and maybe they'll have a rocket to hit America. These are evil days. We've got super viruses, right? Right now, CDC is trying to stop. They have, I just read it the other day, they have like this super bug. You know they have a robot that throws up? Did you know that? They have a robot that they use to test viruses and it actually vomits. How does it do that? I don't know. That's weird. Do you understand? Viruses and bugs and things and we have nuclear weapons, we have inflation, we have all these things and people going crazy in our midst. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. But yet, just last week in Sunday school, we sang a song. It's called King of the Jungle. How many of you have ever heard it? King of the Jungle? Who is the King of the Jungle? Who is the King of the Sea? Who is the King of the Universe? And who is the King of Me? And of course, there's motions and sounds, and I'm not doing them because I don't want to be a complete goofball up here. But the whole point is, yes, these days are evil, and wicked men do grow worse and worse. And it just seems as if, just like Job asked, why is it that evil men prosper and good men suffer? Why? It's not fair. Because the devil is still alive and well and in this world and causing havoc, but there's somebody else, the King, who rules them all, who says to Satan, you cannot go past what I tell you. You can afflict Job with this, but you cannot take his life. It's as far as you go. And anything that comes into your life, God knows about. And he never gives you more than you can handle. For he knows your frame. He knows how frail we are. My friends, redeem the time. Buy it back for God. Use it for his glory. Think about those things. Think about what you're doing in your family, in your work, in your job, in your home, in your chapel, in those things. How can I glorify God with what I'm doing? Right? So let's go over it again real fast. Let's just look at it one last time. He tells us to wake up. He says, wake up, you who are sleeping. This is a brand new year. This is 2013. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Look around you. Take stock of what you have. Take stock of everything that you've got. Rightly weigh it. What's important? What's not important? Don't let the things of this world put shackles on your feet so that you can't do what God wants. Wake up, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and walk in the light. That's verse 14. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at everything. What's really worth setting our heart's affections on? Is it that Super Bowl? Is it the hockey people? Right? No. Redeem the time. Buy it back. Use it wisely. Use it for God. There's three things that really come out of this. I want to end in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation chapter 3. Because it's almost like this is where the church is today. In Revelation chapter 3. And I don't want us to be like this, because this is a bad way. Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, remember this? Do you remember this? Starting in verse 14. Write to the Laodiceans, these things that saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So Jesus is speaking. And he's speaking to a real church that existed at that day. And by the way, this church is gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. He says this, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. You're sleeping. I would that you were hot or cold. And then he says this, because you are lukewarm in the middle, sleeping, I shall spew you out of my mouth. God wants you one way or the other, brothers and sisters. Really, he wants you one way. He wants you hot. He wants you living for him. But he would rather you be hot or cold, because then at least he'd know where you stood. But because you're in the middle, because you're lukewarm, and that's the way really I think the church is today. We're lukewarm. We're entertained. We're happy. We're sassy. We got our coffee place in the back of the church. We got our magazine racks and our book racks and all this nice things. And we got the band and we got all these fun things that we come and we entertain people. But we don't know this. We're biblically illiterate. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's talking to the church. He was talking to the church at Laodicea. He's talking to the church today. We cannot be here. We cannot. Wake up. Rise from the dead. Walk circumspectly. Walk wise and redeem the time. Because these days are evil. But you are the light. You are. You have influence. You have work to do. So do I. We need to do that. That's the encouragement for this year. The encouragement is to right now, before God, and we're going to pray, and I'm sorry I'm five over. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God, use me where I am. Make me who you want me to be. Change me if necessary, even if it hurts. And sometimes that's what it takes. We don't like change, but change is good. Let's close in prayer. Our dearest Lord Jesus, we give you great thanks because you are the great God. You're the shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. And we are the sheep, the people of your pasture. We have come today to look at your word and see what it says. And this morning we were reminded about how you died for us. And you shed your blood to wash away our sins and give us a place in heaven, a home forever. But we're thankful for your word and for the books that teach us. And we're thankful for Ephesians. And Lord, right now before you, we're asking, in this year, starting today, starting right now, you would use us for your glory. You would use these vessels, broken as we are, and that's the way it should be, because when we're broken, your glory can shine through. Use us where we are, in our families, in our work, in our wherever we go, for your glory. Lord, teach us how to number our days. Teach us how to measure what's important and what's not. Teach us to look at the past as the past and remember it, and look at the future and not worry about it, because you are the King of the universe. Teach us to rest in your hands. Lord, renew us again. Renew our spirits. Renew our walk with you. We covenant now to read your word and pray and be a witness and tell people about Christ, the good news, and be an influence and a witness. And we want to see people get saved. And we want to see people do the right things and think the right ways. And we know that these days are evil. We know that this world is not permanent. And this is not our home. And that's why we need to reach those people. Because every day people pass into eternity. And we were once on that side and we're not anymore. We were once a child of darkness and we're not anymore. And I don't want my family to be, and I don't want my friends to be. But if I don't do it, if I don't say anything, God help us. We just ask, Lord, you would bless these families right here. Bless these people right here. This week, this month, this year. Help us to bring glory to God. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.